Blog Talk Radio.
Are we back on a 10:30 time slot? Are we back live on a Monday? Are we back live with Sean Black?
I'm here.
You are? Wow. We are back to our regular slot.
Yes.
It must be Christmas around the corner, indeed.
Of course.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am the most tired host in the world, or the most, the king of king himself, the man who have not slept in months. I am the tired hot rod. And on the phone lines, I have the high energies, doesn't do crap, but get on my last damn nerves. His name
is Sean Black in the building once again. How do you do?
All right. Okay, well, before we get started, I have to say, this year has been very interesting for the most part.
That's probably the understatement of the year.
Probably so. But it's like, I don't know what to begin or what to end. But there's something going on nonstop for 2017. And, you know, every year people are like, oh, 2000, you know, I can't wait for the year to be over. I can't wait for next year. You know, the new year, new me, BS, all that stuff. Hey, you and I, and many of us, survive to see another year. God bless. You know, we had our ups and downs. But guess what? I think I can speak for Sean Black and some of the guys here. We still keep moving.
Yes.
And that's all we could do. Talk about moving. Somebody was saying, somebody was moving out of the White House last week. Last week. And they were singing a song to this person. Na, 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 na. Na, 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 na. Hey, hey, hey. Goodbye. Wow. It's, once again, in the Trump administration, they're playing this game of Survivor. And Sean like to always say, who's next?
Yeah.
This semi-shocker, a non-shocker, her name is, what's her name, Sean?
Omarosa.
Omarosa, oh, the queen of mean, the queen of the White House. She has so many names, I don't know where to begin. Well, last week, I'm also one of the latest to get fired from the White House. Well, of course, not without any drama or a dramatic scene. She was escorted out of the White House. Why is that, Sean Black?
I think a lot of people would like to realize what that issue is, but I think the main premise for why she was, quote-unquote, kicked out or and fired, et cetera, I don't even think any of us really know the bones, but I think we're going to get to this part of the explanation. She overstepped her boundaries in a lot of issues. She was not really included in a lot of decision-making as part of the Trump White House. She was making almost $180,000 a year, which is a good salary for somebody who, for most people, look at her job as whatever. Her job initially was, I guess the official job that they gave her was called White House Office of Public Liaison Communications Director. That is the official title that they gave her. In essence, what she was supposed to do is shepherd the African-American community and indoctrinate them into the Trump White House so that she could speak for African-Americans on behalf of African-Americans and represent them in the Trump White House, which is, for the most part, predominantly white and predominantly male and predominantly rich. We, I think, in general, whether you're white, whether you're African-American, whether you're Hispanic, Latino, or any denomination, could see that the Trump administration never cared, per se, about Omarosa or her being there. but apparently she overstepped her boundaries in certain things. And mostly, I think the African-American community has looked at Omarosa in a very negative light. Mostly, and the word that I've heard a lot of, is sellout. I'll ask you this one, Hot Rod. You've seen her over the years on TV and listened to some of her questions that she's stated and some of the statements that she's made. What is your honest opinion about Omarosa, and do you believe that with all of the negativity that surrounded her, African Americans seem to be taking great joy in her being fired from this Trump White House? Do you agree with that assertion?
Like I said before, nah. Oh, sorry. I met her twice in my lifetime at certain locations. I'd be happy to tell you she is one nasty bitch. And that's, I'm using that as a strong, positive but really negative word. And, you know, I know we're in an early stage now that we have to be careful what we say about other people and all that stuff, especially with sexual assaults and harassment and all that nonsense. But she's not a person you want to be friends with. As a coon or a sellout, yes, she was nasty in general. She believed she was on top of her game. I believe some females can be nasty or can be a bitch. You could be a bitch and get away with it. You could, you know, stand your ground, especially in a man's world. What's fun about her, she's kind of like the way, as you say, the African people, like, mocking her. She kind of like turned her back on us, on the African-American community. And that's why when we find out when she got fired, we like, most people like, so? Who cares? It's good for you. What goes around comes around. She's going around on television and interviews crying or how she lost friends and family for what she did. Sean, if I go to the bar and I get drunk, and I come to complain to you that I got drunk, well, are you surprised? Are you going to feel sorry for me if I keep doing it every day?
I'm not surprised. No.
Exactly. So you go work for Trump. You try to be John Kiss Trump ad. You have worked for Trump for many years. As we discussed earlier, she probably slept with Trump as some in the past, the way Trump is. You know what? It's, I don't know the whole story about her, but you know what? I really don't care. She's a nasty person, and what goes around comes around, and that's good for you. So, Omarosa, do you feel, should you get the pity train? No. But we have another caller right now, 314-381. I think I know who this is. You're on the air.
Hey, I thought that in an interview, the lady said she resigned. And you guys are saying anyone that support and vote for Donald Trump's are, what you call it, coons? Because I supported and voted for Donald Trump.
But I have never called you in the past a coon. I call her a coon, but she's a sellout. Not because she supports Donald Trump, the way she treated her. And the way she kind of turned her back onto the African community, she claims she supports the African community. That's what she joined the seat for. But we all know she's full of it. And the only person she really looked out for was this part I have no problem with is herself. But don't try to throw people underneath the bus trying to look out for yourself. That's my issue.
Well, I don't know. I never had any experience with her, but there's a lot of things that's coming out of this administration that I really appreciate. And there's some things that I wish was changed. And I'm delighted, although tax bill could have been changed.
Well, you, so So you just admit that there's a problem in the Trump administration right now. You just admit to that.
Like what?
No, you say, you know, you wish there's some things that need to be changed. So you're committed.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't. There's some parts of the tax bill, as it does with agriculture, that I don't like, especially the BEAT program, which as it has to do with the use of tax credits, which you guys probably are not familiar with. But, you know, net neutrality, I think that everyone should have access, no matter what social standing they come from. And, that was the latest thing that I have a disagreement with. But we have to see how it works, how it fares out.
Well, it seems from everything that we've seen that a lot of these decisions that come out of this administration don't seem to jive with the majority sentiment of the American people. And there's a lot of pushback with a lot of these things that come out of the administration. And like you just brought up with net neutrality, and a lot of people that may not understand it without getting too technical about it. In essence, it's asking for the ISPs of certain computer companies that run the internet and have the internet providers basically to self-police themselves over where your bandwidth goes and moving internet traffic towards certain websites. And the incentive is supposed to be to make it, at least the way it's explained, is to make the internet better for consumers, for customers, and mostly for businesses, which a lot of this administration and a lot of the things that they brought out is supposed to be trying to shepherd. It's supposedly toward businesses to make a lot of businesses money and bring that out there. But what the internet net neutrality repeal has done, and it doesn't go into effect for a while, and it's going to probably be adjudicated in court at some point. We know we've heard a lot of people going back and forth on that. But what's eventually going to happen is that a lot of businesses, small businesses, the ones that have websites that would like to try and get internet traffic, one, have an uphill battle trying to get that traffic to them, because the ISPs now will have more of an incentive to push, like, the Netflixes of the world and some of the other bigger websites. They'll have more of an incentive to push internet traffic toward those big websites, where the smaller websites won't get that same traffic. And then the internet can be throttled and slowed down based on that. And then in doing so, there's going to be a cascade effect throughout the entirety of the internet. And that's part of the problem.
Well, I hope that that's not that turns out to be the case. Of course, if there was more competition in internet providers, you know, most large cities, I know in St. Louis, I heard when internet first hit the scene, it was about three different companies. Now it's just one. And I have recognized that the rates have increased over the few years. I mean, I remember rates for speeds in 1995 now cost upwards of $30 and it's scheduled to go up to about $64 a month, which is, you know, a heck of a jump. But other than that, no, I appreciate the things that one thing that Donald Trump has done is the things that he pointed out in his campaign issues, because I attended his rally that was in St. Louis. And I had opportunity to talk to
many people. Are you the sign with a black guy in the background, you know, I support Trump? Or is that you?
No, I wasn't. In St. Louis, no, they wouldn't allow you to have signs in the venue as it was spelled out on the back of the free pass that you had to have in order to get in. But no, I had opportunity to talk to people from down southern Missouri who came and listen to some of the issues that they had. But now I'm hoping that this. I wish business taxes would have settled down around the 15% as initially proposed. But I guess they had to balance the overall effects of what they're trying to do.
So what do you think about the almost resign or the firing? Why do you think she was gone from the White House?
Well, I guess I imagine that's a decision that was made with the chief of staff. The chief of staff is overall the staff personnel. I'm not
sure,
privileged to
that
information.
You don't think there was drama going on backstage? You don't think there was a lot of drama going on backstage? Because, like I said before,
well,
Omarosa is a bitch. A nasty
yeah,
bitch.
People would say those things, but I happen to be privileged to hear her in an interview, and she didn't give any indication as if anything like that was going on. But she did say she's going to write a book.
That I was just about to get to that. I was just about to get to that point. The the main reason why all of this is going down the way it is now. I'm not going to jump all over Omarosa in that sense because she got enough hate thrown at her to begin with. I've never met her. I know of her through TV and what I've seen. And the opinion that, especially in the African-American community, about Omarosa is that she has come across as a very mean-spirited, very self-centered, but business-centric, ambitious person who has kind of sold herself out to get ahead. This is the opinion that a lot of African-Americans have in the community that have looked at her. And what all of this has gone down, because I listened to her interview that she did shortly after either dismissal, firing, resignation, whatever the word you want to use to describe how she is out of a job. But she basically said, I have a story to tell. I don't like what I've seen. You're going to hear some of the things that I have to say. And all of it comes across as she's going to come out with some sort of book to further push Omarosa and her and the Omarosa brand. And I think that is probably what ticks most people off the most about this whole story. And then to Hot Rod's point, you said that you don't care. And a lot of people don't care, and they're relishing in her demise, because now what a lot of people are starting to hear is that she's now, after she's gone through this, she's seemingly maybe going to write a book. She now wants to take solace in reveling in the fact that I want to be with my people, the African-American community, so that they can hear my story and listen to what I have to say and listen to what I've gone through. After all of the stuff that has happened, to fall back on that, and I think that's where the blowback is coming from in the media and in the press. She comes across as a very, very, very unlikable person.
But, Sean, we all know, everybody could agree that she's doing it to put herself, like you said, to put herself on the map and make money and talk about so-called quote-unquote secrets. She could be even lying about it, that we all know. But unless she put some drama out there and sell the so-called White House secrets or the drama, even though someone like me don't care, but there are people out there who want to know what's going on behind the White House. But there's so much going on that we don't know about that we probably heard from, a.k.a. fake news. But my producer wants to know, despite all you say about her, Sean Black, will you still have sex with her?
No. No.
Well, she may reveal some of the sources of the leaks that's been coming out of the White House.
I have another. Excuse me, I have another caller. 347-210. You're on the air.
Hey, what up, gang? Brother B in the house.
What up? That's Brother B.
Citations, everyone. How you guys doing?
Well, I'm okay.
Right. Brother B is a huge Omarosa fan. What's your intake about her?
Actually, I've never heard of Omarosa until this whole situation. I don't really pay too much attention to the coonery and the garbage of media. But I will say this. She's outlived her purpose, basically. And that's why they gave her the boot. They don't need it anymore, apparently. She probably didn't do, what they really needed her to do. I mean,
nobody knew what her job was. She got this job as liaison to the White House, and nobody knew. Nobody would tell you, if you asked anybody in the White House, what was her job? Nobody knew what her job was. She just got paid $180,000 a year for a job that no one knows a description of.
Exactly. She could have been a sandwich maker for Trump.
No,
she could have been the
Donald
one that put
Trump
the mayonnaise on the sandwich and on the bread.
That's
what
she
did and got
sandwich.
Paid for it. Yeah, she probably
was Donald Trump. Go ahead.
Yeah, but she was the lackey. But of course she's an opportunist. We all know that. I mean, I posted. Yeah. Did anybody get wind of that little 10-minute video that she did back in 2006?
Oh, of course, the video that was conveniently held away until now,
exactly,
after she's gone out of office to be thrown out to further assassinate her, what's left of credibility to her name on the way
not
out.
Not only the video, But now all of a sudden there's rumors of her owing like $30,000 in tax debt. Listen, whatever she does know, she need to keep a lot of that to herself for she wind up like on the back of a milk carton or something. Because, you know what I'm saying, like when you get moved out of the White House like that under suspicious circumstances, the last thing you want to do is go out there and start talking and, you know, running your mouth. She just needs to just slowly fall, you know, fade away into the background, and that's that. Now, as for her trying to come back to her people, she don't have no people to come back to. She may have humankind to come back to because she was living up in the clouds, but we as Black people need to stop accepting somebody else's leftovers.
Is it just me, or am I the only one that thinks when I hear Omarosa getting kicked out of the White House, you got a picture of Jazzy Jeff getting kicked out from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Every time he got chucked out of the house, he got thrown out by Uncle Phil. Am I the only one that got that image in my head?
This is the position that she chose to play and put herself in and ride on this guy's coattail. So what did she think was going to happen?
And that's the reason why the image is that she appears to have sold out principles, whatever self-dignity she had, to basically align herself with somebody who is not in the interest of a lot of things that the people from the outside looking in would say she belongs to. And that's the hardest part for a lot of people that have looked at this situation are having a hard time trying to grasp. If she's an African-American, and we know African-Americans that look at the Trump administration, look at the bottom line of all of the things coming out, the rhetoric, the race baiting, all of the things that have been coming out of this administration from day one, and they look at Omarosa as why would she align herself if her views are supposed to be the complete opposite of this, unless there was maybe an opportunity for her to further herself. If she was going to get this job and do something that would actually work within the frame of what she had and then try to work through that, a lot of people might have looked at her differently. But it all seems to have been used just as another platform to further Omarosa and her brand. And I think that's what's upsetting a lot of people.
And I agree with that, but Hot Rod and Sean Black, I want to ask you guys a question. And to our other caller, that's if he's still there. I'm 43 years old.
Get out of
up here. Up until Trump has come into office, I have never looked at the White House as a joke. Even when, you know, George Bush Jr. was in there choking off of pretzels and falling and stuff like that, I still never looked at the White House and all its inner workings, you know, however the case may be, is a joke. Up until now, I look at the White House and the whole presidency as a farce. I look at it as some type of game show where Richard Dawson should be up there, you know, saying, oh, this is Family Feud. And it's sad because as an American, as a Black man in this country, for all the crap that I may or may not be given on a daily basis, to have to look at a television screen or have to even think about my government running itself like a circus is crazy. Because then that means that just makes us, how does that make us look on the stage to the rest of the world? Like a bunch
of
crap.
Well, you know, I'm going to say this, I hear people say Black people, there's no such thing as a Black community in the United States. No, all Blacks are not the same.
Let me finish talking.
Blacks are not monotonous in this country. I mean, just give you an example. The Blacks that voted in Alabama last Tuesday for Doug Jones, and they came out in the percentages that they did. They didn't demand anything of Doug Jones. And a relative of mine who attended one of those town hall meetings, Black persons, people said that all we want you to do is treat us fair. So I am not with that type of Black person. I am not with them. And when people ask me, was I on the Edmund Pettus Bridge, I tell them, hell no, I wasn't on the Edmund Pettus Bridge. And another point, for those who want to know what the job descriptions are that goes on in the White House, you yourself can apply for public affairs communication position, because there's an application on applywhitehouse.gov for not only that position, but there's, you know, dozens of other positions that a person can apply for.
Okay. Hold, excuse me one second. I have Cato that's on the line now. Cato has been waiting for a while. Cato, would you like to add on to this?
Cato.
Hey, what's up, Brother B? What's up, Sean Black? What's up, Hot Rod?
All right.
Listen, man, look, all I got to say is this. When I heard that Omarosa got kicked out, I danced up a storm. I was like, what did she think was going to happen? You know, honestly, what the hell did she think was going to happen? You know what? I had the picture of Brother B, the same picture you had of Jazzy Jeff getting thrown out of Uncle Phil's house. Look.
Yeah.
So you got thrown out. Now all of a sudden you want to connect with the black people. Are you serious? We look at you as a joke the same way we looked at Stacey Dash. You don't see Stacey Dash making any more appearances because she's too embarrassed. And Omarosa, if I were her, I'd stay out my big mouth and myself out of the public eye, because we don't want you and we don't care about you.
Well,
and
some people do care. I'm sure Omarosa has some type of fans out there. Or some type
of It's very small.
I agree.
It's very small.
But you know what? But to Brother B's point, Kato, I believe Omarosa will make a comeback. Because, like I said, she's confident, she's naive, and she's a nasty bitch.
She's probably
going to
make
a comeback
on a reality show. She's probably going to make a comeback on the reality show.
You know what? You know what my problem is with her? No one else will ever look at it this way. But I'm going to look at it this way, and I'm going to come down Front Street. She represents a conniving type of woman that we don't need, and it's sad that she is black.
Exactly.
Once again, she's an opportunist, but at the same time, she shows that she's conniving. Because if you look at some of the interviews that she's done, everything is fake. There's no remorse.
Exactly.
It's everything is just fake crying and, you know, my people and all this and that. When the last time
tears,
she even
man.
Said my – when did she say my people? Anytime she was riding with Trump, when did she talk about her people?
Right.
Listen, mm-hmm. We can't – once again, we cannot keep accepting someone else's trash.
Exactly.
Okay.
And we need to turn away from that, because really, we have no time for that. It's 2017, and it's a shame that we still talk about things like this.
And
you know,
her color to me doesn't matter. It's the fact that she didn't have any intentions on doing anything for her so-called people. Listen, you're in a position of – you're in the White House. It's not about your people. It's about the people in general. But the whole thing
exactly.
is she made
the
it –
the United
what,
States of America.
Where she went wrong is throwing people that look like her under the bus.
And you can't do that.
That's why –
you know what, Brother B?
Sean's...
Let me add this. Like I said, it's 2017, and it's a damn shame that we're still talking about this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it makes no sense that you have some of us who get blinded, some of us who are so, you know, who have the, how could I say it? Well, I'm going to say it in the cleanest way I know how, the House Negro mentality. Get rid of it. It's 2017.
Okay, well, all right. Kato, calm down for a little bit. Calm down. But I'd like to go on to the next topic. So, since we wasted 30 minutes about Omarosa, that's almost. And you know what? Before we move on, Omarosa is kind of like build a stereotype of a black woman overall. You know, the stereotype of a black woman being angry, naive, nasty. She kind of like carries some of that stereotype. They're like, oh, gosh, really?
Yeah, she did. As a matter of fact, she's a terrible example.
I'm not saying she's the worst. She's not the worst. Nobody's worse than baby mama drama. But besides that, let me move on to the next topic.
Please.
last week there was a big social media. This was, I'm happy Butter B is with us right now. But he always tells me, I can't believe that everything you see on social media and especially on the news. Because it gets blown way out of proportion or they feed you what you need to be fed. Sean Black, can you tell us a little bit about Stan with Keaton, excuse me.
Yes. Keaton Jones. That's the name that has, over the last, almost a week and a half, almost close to 2 weeks, has been throughout social media over the last couple of weeks. There was a video that was put on that went viral of Keaton Jones, which was filmed by his mother in a car, and it broke a lot of people's hearts because he complained about being bullied. He had wondered, why was he being bullied? There's nothing that I can do about it, and I shouldn't be bullied. And he did. He's definitely a sad story, and we've seen plenty of these videos happen. But what ended up happening was that once the video went viral, we got a lot of celebrities that got behind it, a lot of professional athletes that got behind it, saying, well, this kid, he deserves to have himself a great life. These kinds of things shouldn't happen. Why is he being bullied? He was initially bullied because he had a condition where he had several surgeries for a condition in his muscles that it required him to have these surgeries, and he had scars, and he got unmercifully taken out as far as getting called names, et cetera. What the issue is as the story went along, we found out that not only is his mother, quote-unquote, racist from a lot of things that we've seen, posing with a Confederate flag. He was in a couple of pictures with the parents. His father, who I believe is in jail, is part of a racist, like a white Aryan nation type of gang that lives, that he's in jail with now. And this completely permeated the story in general, because now we're talking about, is the kid supposed to get the same kind of attention to his bullying, or does the story grow from the fact that his parents were bigots and spewed a lot of hatred, et cetera, et cetera? Now, we don't have any proof of the mother saying anything per se. All we have right now is a picture of her posing with a Confederate flag. The father we know of is racist and has Aryan Nation tattoos, et cetera, et cetera, and is in jail right now. So what happens there, juxtaposing that with some of the other bullying that we've seen, Hot Rod, and we talked about this off air, there seems to be a difference in promotion of when bullying happens. We have this story, which, as I said before, is very, very heart-touching because nobody should be bullied. We've seen it before. But then there's another story of bullying that happened, two different stories. One about a girl who is named Ashanti Davis. People don't know about that particular name. This is a girl from Colorado who attempted to hang herself because she got bullied trying to stop another friend of hers from being bullied. And the incident happened where she got into, a fight or argument with the people that were bullying her friend. It was recorded by a person and put on a cell phone and then put on an app. She was so ashamed about this, she tried to hang herself and was in the hospital on life support for 2 weeks before she died in the hospital.
Wow.
That's one extreme.
That.
A lot of people, it's something that happened in the news but didn't get anywhere near as much attention as the Keaton Jones issue. Then there was another bullying story that happened in the Bronx where we had he's 18 years old. He was a gay teen by the name of Abel Cedeno, 18 years old. He was unmercifully bullied because of him being gay. And he was beat up, and he decided he had enough. He brought a knife to school, and he stabbed his bully to death. These kinds of stories seem to take a different life on their own depending on where the bullying story happened and who the victim is, who the victim's parents are, and in a lot of instances, the tax bracket. So what do you guys think of the entire story as far as where bullying has gone, and is it getting any worse? Is it going to get any better?
Well, bullying. Oh, sorry. I was just.
You really don't want to ask me about this.
Of course, that's
you really, you might be making a mistake. You really don't want.
No. Bring it, Brother B. That's why I said I'm happy you're on this show tonight.
Yeah, Brother B.
First of all, thank you. Secondly, yo, to all you little, I try to have respect for certain types of people and with certain titles and positions. I try. But then again, not tonight. All you cats are trash. All you cats that called in to this Keaton dude and sent them all types of emails and say that, oh, you know, we're with you and we stand with you. All you cats are trash. Because you know what? Kids has been getting bullied for years. Years.
Amen.
We've all gotten bullied. I never thought about hanging myself. I got bullied.
Hell
my mother said, take your ass outside and go fight, boy. My father said
that's
the
it.
Same damn thing. Now, all of a sudden, kids is killing themselves or kids is going to social media. I mean, listen, I find it tragic that kids will actually use suicide as an option. They need that issue right there needs to be discussed in a whole different forum about kids. 13 years old? 10 years old? Listen, I wasn't even there. I didn't even know what suicide was at that age. I was too busy in the Voltron and G.I. Joe and everything else. These kids is coming up way too fast. But this little kid getting on it, that mother using her child to get money, and nobody, and really, nobody's really saying as much about it. There's not really that much of an outrage. But one thing is sad, I don't hear these stars or these people in the media coming back and saying anything about it. They just made their statements. They found out they got duped out of their money, and they just shut up. All y'all cats is cornballs. Cause ain't nobody going to that little 18-year-old, that 13-year-old girl that killed herself. Ain't nobody going to that little 10-year-old girl's family.
Nope.
Nobody's doing none of that. Forget their families. Forget their tragedy. But you're going to this one little Caucasian boy who had these surgeries and you feeling sorry for him.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Okay. And the thing is, I hate to put real quick, lastly, I hate to put color into it, but you put color into it before I did. Because you chose to run to the little Caucasian boy, and you just said to hell with everybody else, just to make yourself look better, jackasses.
Tell us how you really feel.
Well, this is how I feel, and I'm not gonna hide it, Brother B. I'm joining your club too, bro. Listen, bullies have been going on for years, like Brother B said. But you know what? You know what's bad now? It's being brought to social media. Social media, people are using cyber bullies, people picking on you on cyber bullies. You know what? Turn the damn computer off. Turn the damn social media off. You know what it is? Like for me growing up, what the hell? Like for me growing up, when you're being bullied, you fight back. You fight back. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I couldn't run back and say, oh, so-and-so's bothering me. No, you go out there and you fight. That bully ain't going to bother you no more. But right,
Sean,
after,
before I go to do, I want to go to K-Dog and Brother B. I agree with your guys' point of view. But Sean and I discussed this last week. Yes, we all got bullied. Yes.
Yeah, man.
Bullying back then is different now. Because like K-Dog said, it's social media. But Sean, Kato, it's very hard to turn off social media, especially these kids are addicted to it.
Addicted
part
to,
of their
yeah,
life.
They let it run their whole lives, and that's the sad part about it.
And also, like Sean and I discussed the other day, the problem with bullying today is, yes, our parents will tell us, go out and fight for your rights, or I'll beat your ass. Now, if I tell my son, go fight Brother B's son, you know, for him picking on you, he go fight his son. Guess what? Now, Brother B's son go get his friend and come jump on my son. Then my son will get his friend and fight each other. It's ongoing because they can't let it go. Now, everybody cannot fight.
That's
alone.
The problem right now.
Everybody keep jumping each other, and if they don't jump
each other,
they will or shoot each other, or they will attack each other on social media. Oh, Sean got a big nose. Like really? And I have to be affected by that. Like Brother B said very long time ago, people are too sensitive. And people are just brainwashed by society today.
I don't know nothing about your sausage. Anyway, real talk. That's his side name. That's his show name.
I don't know if that's sexual harassment or not. That's a sad part.
It might be. But listen, I ain't got no money. Child support got that. But anyway.
Which would explain why you're thinking about hot dogs.
Yeah, exactly. Yo, I remember, listen, back in the days, that's what it was. You jump me, then we go back and jump you. But that's the whole thing. You fought and you lived to see another day.
Exactly.
No one was out there stabbing. Like, all right, you had little box cutters. Cats were slicing each other. But when you heard about that, that was like, oh, wow. Like, really? It was like the biggest thing since sliced bread. Like, you heard somebody got, like, sliced. But we wasn't out there stabbing and shooting each other like that. It was just fight, and then we go back and fight, and then we go back and fight again until people just got tired of beating each other's ass.
So they take the easy way out and just kill each other or stab each other?
Listen, it's the system.
No, because you know
First
why you
all,
have to be a punk if you use a weapon.
Well, the system takes control away from the parents. And then after that, everything just spirals down. Because Hot Rod would be considered wrong for telling his son to go man up and fight my son. Like, they would look at Hot Rod, the system in society would look at Hot Rod as being a bully because he's telling his son to man up and go fight. Since when, and this proves a point or a theory that I've been feeling, a way I've been feeling for years, that this whole thing about fighting, whether it's physically or mentally, society is like, nah, don't fight. Just go with the flow. Just go with the flow. Just take the lumps. Just take the ass kicking. And, you know, whatever happens, happens. No. I'm never going to teach my daughter that. I'm telling her, if you feel uncomfortable or you feel you need to defend yourself, then go defend yourself. But society is teaching something else. This is why these kids are going out there killing themselves, because no one is defending them. No one is taking care, and we're supposed to be adults. What the hell are you doing? We're too busy worried about Omarosa and Trump, dumbass. But we're not paying attention to our children. These children are coming up lost. They're coming up with no type of guidance whatsoever. Nobody has their back. So these kids are turning into other methods to be like, you know what, this is my only way out because my mama don't care or my dad don't care because he's not around. So you know what, no one cares. The teachers don't care. Nobody gives a damn. So what do you expect?
Okay, we have another caller now, 646-83. You're on the air.
Hi, everyone. Good evening.
Hello.
So I'm going to chime in. I will have to disagree with the gentleman. What he says is up to the parents, that the parents don't care, and that's why the victims, they commit suicide.
I never said the parents don't care. I never said the parents don't care, but you do have parents that are not paying attention, nor do they have concerns for their children.
That's not for the majority of the parents, though. Because of, what about the majority of the parents that do care and they do teach their kids to fight and they do bring it up to the teachers and the principals and the school, the faculty, the other parent, they just turn a deaf ear, either a deaf ear, the majority of times a deaf ear, or the bullying continues. So then what happens? Who's going to get the blame? So then the kid, the victim, the little kid, he keeps getting bullied until he commits suicide. And then society's just, okay, pointing fingers at everyone else but the problem. I think, like, they should enforce, like, laws because, like, now, but I was raised like that, too. I was, like, a mousy, tiny little thing. My parents whooped my behind if I came home as a victim. Like, I had to, like, come home and whip people, like, the bully's ass. If anything, I was taught that way, but it's not back in the day now. Now, these kids know more than us. These kids bring, like, guns and knives and, you know, their imagination leaves us in the poorhouse or whatever. So we're dealing in different times. I think we should hold the schools accountable and enforce laws, because not only that, like with the bullying, but this is also bullying, this workforce bullying, this adult bullying. So I think it goes far further than, you know, schoolyard bullying. It goes furthermore, like, I don't know, the adult world where we are now.
How do you enforce laws that condone bullying? Like you said, there's workforce, there's on the job bullying, there's school bullying, there's bullying all over. So how do you enforce laws that encourage bullying?
Yeah,
society nowadays encourages it.
The laws will put those, the bulliers, in their face. If anything, they are holding
the law.
Are you sure? Yeah. I mean,
are you sure?
Because if anything, with telling your child to beat the bully up is not helping any. If anything is
look
going backwards, we're going back to
look
the dinosaur ages. We're not going anywhere. And now they're enforcing, like, now what's coming into effect? Can I speak? Now what's coming into effect is they're holding the parents of the bullier accountable for the bullying's actions. It's not going to help but so far, but at least it's a step. It's a step somewhere, because everyone's still twiddling the thumbs and pointing fingers, and nothing is getting accomplished here.
It's become acceptable. Like, I can give you a quick example. I know a lot of cats that used to get bullied and that now wear NYPD uniforms, and now they're doing the bullying. That's just one example.
So that's my point right there. The bullying, and it's not even okay, school kids, it goes into the adults and workforce bullying. That's also coming into effect with the laws, with adult bullying. They should make mandate a law where harassment, discrimination, in terms of bullying, will be, you know, they'll pay in terms of laws, charges, criminal charges, you know?
Because it's ridiculous. People have to be victims. I have another caller, 570. You're on the air. What would you like to say about this?
Hi, am I on the air? This is Ann.
Yeah,
hey,
how
you
doing?
Hey, what's up, Ann? What's going on, Ann?
Hey,
hello, Miss Ann. How you doing?
Hi. Hello. I've been listening for a little bit. I just want to take it back for a moment, and then I'll catch up with the current conversation. Someone had mentioned before about the conversation about Omarosa and positions being available. I think that's the key, major key right there, that everyone needs to get involved, civically involved. There are ways to get involved. You don't have to join city council. You don't have to run for U.S. Congress or run for president of the United States. I think getting involved is the key to let your voice be heard and to march and to make phone calls to sitting Congress people and the Senate of what is going on. Because, yes, Omarosa, she probably got kicked out, like you said, Fresh Prince style. But what's really... But if we want to talk about what's really important, let's talk about net neutrality, the fact that our internet is about to change the way that we know it. Let's talk about the CHIP program. 9 million children that are not going to get the health care that they need. You know, I agree, someone made a point, you know, Omarosa is kind of like the sideshow, like, of what's really going on, because what's really going on is that our civil liberties as Americans are being taken away. You know, especially, you can't get much more than the internet. The internet as we know it is being taken away. The fact that you can go online and search what you want to search and look for what you want to search, and it doesn't cost you a cent more to go to one website or the next. That is now being taken away.
But that was the plan. Because it's obvious that it's obvious that we can't control ourselves. So they let everybody wild out, and now they're going to try and control it because we can't control ourselves.
But don't we
need some type of control?
Don't we need control in some of this?
No,
on the internet?
That's called a fascist. No, we don't need – we need control in civil discourse amongst each other. That's where we need control, the way that we talk to each other, the way that we interact each other, the ways that we – that we hold each other as fellow Americans. That's where we need.
Well, there's no more. The moral compass is off. The moral compass is off.
Exactly.
To your point, Dan, it's mostly
it's
the fact that the majority of people that have the complaint to it are never on the same page when it comes to enacting some sort of action to correct it. And that's part of the problem in general with all in all facets of this entire discussion. If you are a part of a group that is being shamed on, not getting the respect, not getting things looked at you in your particular interest, the people that are affected don't seem to stay together long enough to enact change. And that's where it has to start.
And I agree, and that is exactly to my point about civil engagement. And the core of civil engagement is education. What is net neutrality? Net neutrality is what was taken away 3-2, right? And you can go online and see what congressmen and congresswomen, I think actually they're mostly only congressmen, that took campaign contributions to vote, and it was Republican vote, 3-2, to take away the internet as we know it. And to have the tier just as we have it with cable. If you want HBO, if you want Showtime, that's extra. If you want ESPN, if you want MTV, there's certain packages, and that's exactly what was voted on with the internet. So if you're a small business owner, you now are going to have slower traffic, and you are not going to be afforded the same opportunities as a high-priced enterprise and corporation like Verizon, like AT&T, like Whole Foods. They will have the traffic drawn to them.
That goes along into bullying.
Exactly.
It's another form of bullying.
Hold on. All right, to add, you say education. The problem with most people today, we are not educated. I'm not talking about us, this panel. I'm not overall. You cannot lead the horse to water. You cannot lead the horse to the lake to drink it. How do you expect people to be educated today about the politics, about bullying, about society today are being brainwashed by the wrong reasons.
Right.
That's
a very good point, Hi-Rod. That's why civil engagement is so important, right? To join a group, to join your local affiliation. If you're obviously, I'm assuming most of your audiences are Democrats or independents, but no matter if you're Republican, Libertarian, or progressive or otherwise, you know, to not only to educate yourself, but as people that when you know this information, like I'm calling in to raise the question, that's part of our civil duty. That's why we march.
Hold on.
That's why we call our Congress people. That's why we call our Senate people. That's why we raise hell. And that
and
is what
see, this is the
moment
thing.
Is about. That was
real
this
quick,
is
the
people, moment about.
The
and we
real
have
people
to,
that want. Everybody wants to raise hell. Everybody wants to raise hell. People are hungry. So you go into a buffet. You're hungry. You go into a buffet, but you see so many choices, liberals, Democrats, Republicans, this, that, and the third. You don't know what to eat. So it gets frustrating. People there's too many. Sometimes there's just too many options. There are too many choices. There are too many questions. It's either right or wrong. There's no in between. And the thing is, everybody's living in between now.
Okay, hold on. I don't know how to get to Susie. Susie, what's your input on this?
I have to agree. I think we as a society, I think we're like savages, seriously. It's not even a question of who, you know, status, education, and so forth. It's just overall, we're just savages. It's just the fight of the fittest. No one wants to hear anything, and we're like overly sensitive, and it's just disgusting how we evolved a society as a whole. So I don't know. Like, I'm not. I hear what everybody is saying with the what's going on with the internet, but maybe taking away the internet and limiting us with the internet is maybe not a bad idea. Maybe setting us back to how it was back in the day without no internet is better for us overall, so we could like have.
That's not what they're doing though.
Mm.
Hold on, Susie, sorry, sweetheart, if I'm interrupting. Listen, now these days, you look at society, you look at our children, and let me just say this. People can't even write anymore, if you understand what I'm saying. Our children, some of them are not even learning how to write, because back in the day, when I was in school, you learn how to read and write, right? You learn how to write. You learn how to write cursive letters. Some schools don't even teach that anymore.
Right.
That's
and
how
that's
much
why
things
people
are
have
changing.
To read spell,
yeah, because, and people don't even know how to read anymore, because you know why? Like I said before about social media, society have allowed social media to run their lives every day.
Exactly. It's the technology.
And that's a great point.
We don't pick up books.
That's a great point, K-Dog, because, you know, and that's why people have to be vocal. People have to march. People have to protest. People have to call their elected officials, and not even just call their elected officials. They have to get out and vote for the right people to protect our civil liberties.
Well, excuse me,
and what's said about it is that people don't vote.
Not
only vote, but get educated and get knowledgeable on who you're voting for. Don't follow the masses. You know, okay, because everybody and their mother is voting for candidate K. I'm going to vote for candidate K because everybody is doing that. No, educate yourself.
Exactly.
Educate yourself.
But people are not doing that.
Hold on.
But we have to educate each other, and we have to educate communities.
We have to educate ourselves. We can't be looking to other people to educate us. We have to educate
ourselves, but also educate communities, because not everyone is well versed, and that's the key point.
Excuse me, guys. I have a minute left, and Susie, Brother B, K Dog, Sean Black. Thank you for one of the best shows of the year we did so far. We should talk about it some more, I see. Thanks so much, and as always, happy holidays to all you guys, and many blessings. Thank you so much.
Happy holidays, people.
Yes. Everybody be safe. Peace and love.
Ciao.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, Kato, you got 10 seconds. Say your goodbye.
Give you 10 seconds right there.
All right, wow. Yeah. What
this is
show.
Our last show Thank of this so- year, isn't it?
Yeah, this is our last show of the year. We're knowing Sean Black. We're going to maybe do a show next week. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm the High Ride with
Sean Black.
And in honor of Anita B, we miss you. We hope you come back soon. And happy holidays, everyone. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, the pleasure was all
yours. Have a great, great holiday, and we'll have a happy new year. We'll see you in 2018.
Maybe. Hopefully there's no breaking news next week. Good night, everyone.
Yeah. Good night.